Welcome to the I Love Recruiting Podcast with your host, Adam Roach.
Welcome back, everybody, to the I Love Recruiting Podcast. I am your host, Adam Roach, and today I am excited to bring to you, whether you're listening to this or whether you're watching this on our YouTube channel, Mr. Patrick Mazur. Patrick is, before I let him speak real quick, let me give you a framework of who Patrick is. Not only is he an entrepreneur, he's been in direct sales for 18 years and has built one of the largest organizations in a company called ACN. He's what's called an SVP in an organization. And I'll share with you, I was a part of ACN back about in the late 2000s. And so this was back in 2000 and some change. And I got to see this guy from the stands when he was up on stage. And I thought, that guy's the man. And now here we are 2020, and I can definitely call him one of my good friends. So Mr. Patrick Mazur, welcome to the I Love Recruiting Podcast.
Great to be here, Adam, and looking forward to this for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. So Patrick, catch us up real quick. So you're on the East Coast, right?
Yep. Living in Pittsburgh right now and, sort of going back and forth to Florida.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the recruiting world, tell us what's important to you about the recruiting world. Tell us about, I know that gets your blood flowing. And what have you been doing during Corona in the recruiting space with your leaders and so on and so forth? Help us understand who you are. Give us some framework there.
Yeah, well, I think everybody had to change. And the people that changed the quickest are the ones that are embracing success right now. When we saw this coming, we've used Zoom before. This has been primarily from a training tool and something that we took time to sort of show people how to use. But I think inevitably everybody was going to go in this direction, Adam. I think it was about a 5-year window, I think, before we all sort of accepted Zoom or some way of communicating online. Corona took that from 5 years to 5 weeks. And so now all of a sudden the whole world does Zoom. We pivoted, we moved into recruiting and doing all of our activities online. And what it's really been surprising for us is opening markets up that we never had any sort of business in before. If you lived in the middle of Alabama or in the middle of Mississippi or, certain states where, again, just based on population, you're not necessarily spending a lot of money, time, or effort in those areas. Zoom has now gave those individuals an opportunity to be able to participate in building teams globally because no longer does your zip code matter when it comes to online building.
That's very true. So let's go back. I want to push rewind for a second. So Patrick Mazur, before he was truly one of the world's gifted recruiters, how'd you get in that space?
So interestingly enough, my parents did Amway. So if okay. You're familiar with Amway, they were hard charging it. Two little lessons there. Number one is watch what you teach your kids. Mm-hmm. I think all of our heroes are our parents. So my parents never really made a ton of money with Amway, but what they did is they brought a culture into our house of positivity and entrepreneurism and you can do anything and read the right books. And then number two is I've always been entrepreneurial because, my father worked for a major pharmaceutical company and, the second largest in the world. And, when you hit 56 and 57, they don't want you anymore. And so to see that as a son, to have to watch your father sort of go out and recreate his success deep into his 50s, that's really what really solidified that I'll never get a job. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I will never have a phone call at 58 when your whole world goes turned upside down. And, your identity is really tied sometimes with your career. And right. When you lose that career, that identity sort of goes with it. So, that just solidified me to be an entrepreneur. And all that basically meant, Adam, was I pushed a lawnmower. You know what I mean? I washed the car. I was the guy selling T-shirts. You name it. I tried it. I did it. The challenge I had is probably what most people have is lack of finances. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? America's a great country if you have money, but no different than any other country if you don't. So, this was one of those, find an opportunity in direct sales was the one that could allow me to scale and make the kind of money that, that you dream of making.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I will say to our listeners is going from having that background in direct sales and also understanding how to be an entrepreneur, I will give you kudos and a pat on the back here because I've listened to and I've been a part of, you're also an incredible leader and teacher. And I would imagine that a lot of the people in your organizations would probably agree with me with that statement. Walk us down that path of you becoming this leader, this teacher, this almost you became this. I mean, I know you were for me, someone that attracts people, right? You attract talent. How did you stumble into that space? Where did that come from?
You know, the blessing of direct sales is personal development. You know what I mean? You sit at the feet of people that have had success, and you all of a sudden start to dive into their biographies and listen to their audios and have the good fortune to go to some events that they put on. And it's all about mirroring. You know what I mean? It's all about taking what somebody else is doing that you really agree with, if you will, and using that in your own life. So, you know, one thing I found, especially in this industry, is, you know, the better the teacher, the more success you're going to have. And I think teaching just basically means patience. You know, going to where your students are. You know, a lot of times in sales, we're good at selling, bad at teaching. Mm-hmm. You know, we know how to do it because we've done it, but we don't know how to go back and teach the next person. So sometimes you'll find teachers and coaches and moms, you know, sometimes your best coaches or best teachers, just because they know how to go back to where somebody is and take them to where they want them to be.
Right, exactly. You know, we have an equation here at the I Love Recruiting Company. It's called recruiting equals influence equals leadership. And that can go both ways, right? Leadership equals influence equals recruiting. And I will definitely say, since I've known you, it's been the leadership equals influence equals recruiting. So now let's go into the vision. So you got into this world of direct marketing, direct sales, and there was just one of you when you began, and that was you, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And then you had to start to build your organization. And what were some of the first steps you did to go out and start to attract people into your organization?
You know, get good at your craft and know that you start out bad. And I think what stops everybody initially is knowing that they're going to have to go through the awkwardness of doing something new. And, you know, that awkwardness, that's why at their deathbed, everybody tells you what they should have done because fear no longer is with them. You know, so now they said, man, I should have started that business. I should have made that call. I should have, you know, traveled or whatever stopped them before because of fear. So I think it's just accepting the fact that, look, you know, why do we talk to family and friends? Isn't because we're going to get rich with them. It's because we got to practice. You know, sure. Sort of like the soft opening at a restaurant. Who do you have? You have friends, you have family, just to make sure everything's right. And then let's go, you know, sell food to 300 million people we don't know. But we're not going to go sell it to them until we got a great product and a great system and all the things needed. So, you know, that's where I started, you know, friends, family, acquaintances, until I got enough skills, if you will, to go after people I didn't know.
Right, exactly. I want to go back to this fear. That was a great thing that you said. When people are on their deathbed, now they are going back and they're saying, holy cow, I wish I would have, because fear is gone, right? What would you say to someone listening? Because our listeners are recruiters, right? So they're actively building whatever company they have, whether they are in the real estate space, the direct sales space, in the HR space. How would you, Patrick Mazur, tell someone to get past their fears faster? What do you think they could do?
You know what I mean? There's so many great books out there, Failing Forward, you know, John Maxwell. I mean, the litany of people that really spend time on this subject. But look, I had a gun to my head financially. And sometimes that's good. You know what I mean? Like, I love when I meet people that said, I need this to work. It's like, great, it will now. Because, you know, sometimes the problem with us is we have too many choices. You know, and sometimes we, you know, that comfort, if you will, is really is the death, if you will. You know what I mean? I like the idea of if 2009 was my greatest recruiting year because people didn't care what somebody thought. They were too busy, you know, worried about losing their house and 401k going down and their spouse losing a job. It's like, great, I'll call everybody I know now because I got a gun to my head financially. And so that helps you overcome the fear. Now, I'm not telling your listener to go buy a jet or, you know what I mean, a Rolls Royce or put themselves in a position to win. But hey, look, you know what? Sometimes that works. You know, sometimes it really eliminates the distractions, you know, and the shoulds become a must. You know, what you must do, not what you should do.
So it's almost as if, you know, I like that phrase, putting a gun to their head and actually having some pain, right? Understanding what their pain is. You know, it's fascinating how most people run not only away from that pain, but their ego gets in the way and they don't share what that pain is. And then they wind up suffering even more, right? So what would you say to someone that might be in that space? They're not going to raise their hand right now because there's egomaniacs don't raise their hand and say, I'm an egomaniac, but they know internally that they're in their own way, right?
What I find is big ego, small wallet, you know, edging God out, ego. You know what I mean? Like, look, I think, you know, one of the great things with, you know, being humbled, if you will, with lack of success is great, because you never have an ego when you have success, because you remember the bitter taste of not having anything, you know. And I think that was, for me, a blessing to have to, you know, really scrimp and save and you know what I mean, be humbled that you're reading your menus from right to left, you know, because success is inevitable if you put the effort, work, and all the necessary components to success. It's just that ego stops so many people from greatness. And I'm sure you see it, and I'm sure, you know, people that are listening now, it's like, look, do you think Elon Musk cares what people's opinions are? I mean, if he did, he wouldn't have started an electric car company. Because everybody's opinion that was an expert said it'll never work. Ford, GM, BMW, Mercedes. And then he pushed their hand, and guess who has electric cars now? Right. All of them.
All of it. And he's on the cover of Success Magazine, I think, this month.
Yeah, and his stock is exploding. And it's like, it's undeniable what he's done.
I love what you said there, edging God out. That's the acronym for ego. And I would agree with that. And I also love the big ego, small wallet. Yeah.
Just when you think you've done something, Adam, you meet the guy that has a fleet of jets.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, yeah, I made a little money. Yeah, it's a cute Mercedes, you know.
This episode of the I Love Recruiting podcast is being brought to you by Recruiting Bridge. Recruiting Bridge has been the trusted global recruiting platform inside of Keller Williams for the last 6 years. Are you an agent looking to grow your profit share, or a team leader looking to grow your market center? Recruiting Bridge is the answer. Over the last 6 years, Recruiting Bridge has helped Keller Williams Realty grow by nearly 100,000 agents. Go to recruitingbridge.com and start your 60-day free trial today. Recruitingbridge.com.
So let's go now into your success. Because you've had great success. You are now at the top of your organization. Mm-hmm. You're what's considered an SVP, which is the outside of an SVP, what is it, owner?
Yeah, that's it, co-founder, I think. That's the next
co-founder, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So let's go down that path. How many people in your organization, what have you seen that have been the best practices to get that organization? We've heard already a lot of great opportunities for people to go get better. What did you do specifically to become now one of the best of the best inside of ACN? And for a long period of time too, that you've sustained that.
Yeah, and you know, number one, the hunger's still here. So, you know what I mean? I don't think that's ever left me and ever will. You know, number two, and this is, you know, I've got about 100,000 customers all over the world. So just to give everybody sort of perspective, you know, what that means is internet customer, a cell phone customer, an electric customer, gas customer, home security customer. So we get a percentage of those bills every 30 days. So we create residual income. Now, residual income, you know, Adam, is sometimes negative because it gets people lazy. You know what I mean? Like, you know, what's the drive if your bills are paid with a residual check? And I've seen that over the years too, where I'm like, you know, really wish you, you know, didn't have that check, because you would be as aggressive as you were when you first started. Sure. You know, but I think to your point of how do we recruit now, look, I think if you have a message now, whether that be an entrepreneurial message where you're looking for people to get into your vision of where your company's going, or you're recruiting for your real estate, and hey, you know, it's all about that vision statement. You know, people want to be caught up in where you're going, not where you are. You know, anybody can put a comp plan together. Anybody can talk about, you know, things that are necessity in whatever we do. Where people win is that mission statement. You know, I looked at McDonald's. McDonald's changed their mission statement because of COVID.
Really?
So think about, you know what I mean? These are companies that have, you know, iconic type companies that continue to recreate what their mission is, because look, everything's changed. And so the way, you know, McDonald's now is we come to you or you come to us. When did McDonald's ever say we come to you? Well, guess what? COVID now changed that opinion. Hey, we come to you or you come to us.
Mm-hmm. So 100,000 customers, residual income. You know, that's one of the areas where I like to speak to anybody about wealth building, is where are some opportunities where you can go make passive income, where you can actually make the money horizontally, right? So instead of vertically making money, you can make it horizontally. Tell us about your experience with residual income and passive income, and quite frankly, how that has impacted and changed your life.
Well, you know, first of which, I didn't even know it existed. So let's start there. So I, you know, probably going to assume most people don't, just because if they knew it existed, they would actually go after it. Right. And there's components of that in the real estate world, triple net lease, but all that stuff's expensive. So to really get passive and residual income is expensive. You know, so most people don't realize that in order for you to make this kind of residual income, it usually takes money to make money. Right. So we've got a very unique situation where, you know, my startup capital was a couple hundred bucks. You know, I'm linked in with AT&T and major vendors we all know, and they're willing to pay me a percentage of that bill for, you know, for that customer I delivered them. But what it's done is two things. Number one, time. Look, we all have situations come up. People get sick in our life. You know, people, you know, priorities change, you know, as things change, you know, unplanned things happen to all of us. And so, look, you know, that was a big blessing for me when I did have to take time away from my business because of things I didn't plan for. Money wasn't what I really worried about. You know what I mean? It was a list of other things that I worried about. Money wasn't one of them because right. that income kept coming in every 30 days. Second thing with that, and you know, this is compounding. So every time, you know what I mean? Your income continues to go up because you're working from a base that you started with. So, and, right. you know, rental property is a great example. You have 10 rental properties, you get 15 more. Great, now you're 25. You know what I'm saying? So the same thing holds true with what I do. Each customer I keep adding on to existing customers. So the income continues to go up.
Yeah, it's pretty powerful. And I like what you said around the time aspect because for our listeners, think about it this way. Right now, if you have a job, and that's great. I'm glad you do have a job specifically in this
especially
time.
Now.
Yeah. Any cash flow you can get right now, keep it going, right? But think about that. You're actually trading your time for a dollar. I had a mentor tell me one time when I was in W-2 space, and he said, listen, what is your time worth? And I said, I don't know. It's got to be a couple $1,000s. He said, well, take the time that you're getting paid, divide that by the time you put into it, and that's your dollar per hour. I said, yeah, but that's not how much I'm worth. He goes, no, it is, because you're actually trading your time for that dollar. So if you think you're worth more, go to your boss and say, give me more money, because I guarantee you he'll say no, right? And so therefore, that's what your time is worth. And here's a great example of saying, go give me some more money, right? So I had a friend who owned a big business, and one of his top salespeople was, let's just hypothetically say, it was like $40,000. And this guy was busting his butt. So that was his salary, it was $40,000. And I asked my friend, I said, what's he really worth? And he says, probably about $250,000 to me. I said, so are you telling me that if he came in here and said, I want $200,000, you give it to him? He said, absolutely.
Wow.
But he didn't do it, right? So again, all that to be said, that's trading your time for dollars. Now, what we're talking about, gang, is making money while you are, well, compounding money and passive income. And this is a massive opportunity, whether you're in a real estate space and you're in a company that allows you to create, as KW does, profit share or EXP revenue share, any other company that Exit Realty does revenue share, or in your world, Patrick, of direct sales, your residual income, man, that is really, really strong opportunities mm-hmm. for people, right?
Well, you know, I like what you said. You know, look, we've all been, you know, taught kindergarten to 12th grade. That's, you know, 13,000 hours of information, and not one time did he teach us the tax system. Public school, private school. Now, I think a dangling participle is less important than the tax system. And they spent more time on a dangling participle than they did on the tax system. So, you know, I think there's a reason for that. I'm not going to go into that personally, but I think the point that I'm making is when you transition to a 1099 or independent business owner, the entire tax system was made for you. You know right. what I mean? That is 100% what this country was founded on. And mm-hmm. so, you know, you pay on profits, you know, not wages. And so the benefit to owning a business and being self-employed is the government was created to benefit you. Now, yet 97% of our country has a W-2. 3% have some sort of 1099 or independent business. Tax system was made for them.
What have you found in your world when people are coming from that? I love that. Pay on profits, not on wages, that are coming from wages, and they're looking at your opportunity and saying, man, I can't give up that money. What do you teach, or how do you lead someone like that?
You know, great question. Look, I think in real estate you probably have something as well where mm-hmm. you can start part-time. You know right. what I mean? Like, look, there's an educational system that's going to be required. There's a learning curve, no matter what it is that we do. And, you know, I don't want anyone to quit their main source of income to go into the unknown. Right. You know, the beautiful part about both of our industries is you don't have to start full time. But, you know, again, you know, part time in anything, it's getting education. It's getting you contacts. It's getting you, you know, put into that world. And then, you know, when those choices come down the road because your finances are in a position where you can make that leap. Now, they're probably never going to be a place where you're not going to be nervous. Look, we're entrepreneurs. Do I wake up still nervous? Absolutely. You know what I mean? Do I still have the anxiety of anybody? Absolutely. But, you know, the difference is that we've been able to condition ourselves to accept that. You know, I'd rather have that anxiety as a self-employed human being than the unknown of somebody else paying me, to your point, you know, 200 grand less than I'm worth. And number two, no security. You know, I mean, we're seeing that now today more than ever. It's like, who feels secure in what they do?
Mm-hmm. So what would you say to someone right now who is reluctant to go recruit in opportunities like my real estate world or your direct sales world? What would you say to those people who are like, yeah, no, I want to be sensitive to people right now and I don't want to recruit them? What would you say to someone like that?
You know, two things. Look, when I say Michael Jordan, what do you think of? When I say Oprah, what do you think of? What are you known for? You know what I mean? Like, look, what's your brand? You know what I mean? People walking by you every day, they don't know who you are, what you're up to. You know, I recruit because number one, I believe in what I do. And if you're not recruiting, it's just because your belief tank ain't full enough. You know, and so I don't care if you got to go meet the top person in your world and go spend a day or an hour or a minute or 2 days with someone like that and see what they have. You know what I mean? Get your 1-2 up. You know what I mean? Go look at your parents' car. Go look at their bank account. Go look at their vacation. You know, go look at the charity you want to give more money to. The desire has to be greater than the conversations in your head. And all the conversations in your head are never positive. Right. I have yet to find one human being that told me, look, you know, the feeling I had this morning was I could take over the world and I was the best there ever was. No, that's called a book and an audio and a seminar, you know, and that's why we go to write books and seminars and audios. Adam, I know you. I know you're, you know, ferocious when it comes to personal development. You're journaling right now as I'm talking to you. I mean, you know what I mean? You're a student of the game. And look, none of us wake up, you know, inspired. We become inspired through, you know, the environment that we create. You know, I don't hang out with negative people, period. Yeah. I don't care if you have my last name or not. You know, I'll be cordial to you, but I'm not going to let you rent space in my head.
That's powerful. That's really powerful. And I trust all of you listeners just heard what he said, because it's true. Your environment does dictate your thoughts. Your conversations dictate your thoughts. I heard one time that your cells eavesdrop on your conversations, right? And that's truly what you become. It's really what you found. So let me ask you this. So if I'm one of our listeners and I want to learn more about AC and I want to learn more about you, I want to learn about how can I get involved in your organization, be led by you and be taught by you? What can people go do? Where can they go find you and how can they become a part of it?
I'm easy. I mean, I'm all over the place. You know, if you're on Facebook or Instagram, my last name's Maser, M-A-S-E-R. You can, you know, reach out to me in any of the social network channels. You know, my phone number is 267-971-2871. Call me. I answer my phone. Here's what I find. The more successful they are, the faster they answer their phone. Mm. The broker they are, the longer it is to get back to you, the longer it is to, right or wrong. I mean, you've experienced that yourself personally. I'm watching guys making $15 million a year return a call and a text. And, you know, I've had other people unemployed. It took them 3 days to get back to me.
Sure.
So it's just, you know, please call, text, whatever that might look like. I'm here to help.
Gotcha. I appreciate that. Well, wait a minute. Where do I fall in that category? Because I know I've waited a few days to respond to you a few times. I hope I'm not now.
I don't carry any baggage with that. You know what I mean? Meaning, you know, I'm in recruiting mode. So recruiting mode means I have no sensitivity to not responding or not getting back or anything. You know, one of the things you and I probably both have acquired in this industry is persistence. You know. Mm. Yeah. We can grow rich. You know, there's a whole chapter on it. You know what it says? Yeah. It says, keep calling even when they don't respond, you know, because look, it's all about life timing for people. So that's a different situation, obviously, than, you know, the guy that's coming to cut my grass or somebody I'm doing business with who, you know, should pick up the phone because I'm a customer. Right. You know what I mean? Maybe that's more of a real estate conversation. Hey, look, if I want to list my house, I hope I don't have to call you three times.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you'd be surprised.
No. I would not be surprised. I would probably be an expectation. You know,
no,
can I give you money? How do I helicopter money to your house? What do you need me to do?
I don't remember where I heard this, but I heard this a long time ago, whether it was from you or George or someone in the organization. There was a phrase when we were prospecting And it was some will, some won't, some wait, so what, who's next,
that's right? Next.
Some will, some won't, some wait, so what, who's next? And what I took away from that, specifically to the recruiting world, was don't get attached to the outcome.
Yeah. Right?
Don't get attached to the outcome. Build your pipeline and understand the conversion rates inside of your pipeline and be friendly and be a human, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Always.
Great advice. And you're so true. You know, so many people have the whole story played out in their head of what's going to happen and step having no expectations. And also, everybody knows somebody. So to your point, if you're not friendly, if you're not keeping the door open, you'll never get a referral or you never get somebody to say, hey, you know who I was thinking of. But look, the world we're living in today for recruiting has never been better. I mean, you know, you and I have gotten airplanes. I wore cars out. I drove from one side of the country to the other. With this technology and all the ways we can touch people now today more than ever, it's never been easier.
Right. Yep. I agree. Well, everybody, there you hear it from Patrick Mazur, one of the best, one of the top. This is a global builder right here in the direct marketing space, in the direct sales space. So go find him. He gave you his contact information. He actually gave you his cell phone number. So go blow him up and ask how you can learn from him and get involved with him, because this is one of those opportunities right now where if you're sitting on the couch and you're just collecting checks, I have zero judgment on that. That will end though, right? And you do have to find other options out there. So this is a great option and I do definitely support it. So Patrick, my man, I appreciate your time, brother.
Great, great seeing you, Adam. Appreciate the opportunity.
You got it. So everybody, again, my name is Adam Roach and I am your host of the I Love Recruiting podcast. And hey, by the way, go check out iloverecruiting.com and go see what events we have coming up. We have some recruiting events happening in 2 weeks that I know you'll want to sign up for. So go to iloverecruiting.com and go register for those events. Take care, everybody, and we will talk to you next time.